The conference is now in silent mode.
That's too loud. Okay. All right, Olivia, I think you're the only one on the call so far. Have you gotten any emails from anybody?
I don't have any emails.
Hello, and if you are listening to my voice, you're here for the Menhaden Management Advisory Committee meeting. On the screen is the information for the meeting today. And give me just 1 second. I'm going to, you don't want to hear that. Okay. The information is here, and it's also the meeting material is also on our website at https://mrc.virginia/calendar.shtm. And we're just waiting for a few more of our committee members to call in. Did I hear of anyone else to just call in?
Hi, Mike Leonard here.
Hey, Mike, this is Pat Gear. Anyone else who I haven't mentioned already?
Yes, Pat, this is Steve Atkinson.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Hello, did somebody just call in?
Yeah, hi. My name is Mark Federici with USCW Local 400.
Okay, Mark, hi. How are you? This is Pat Gear. We have most of our committee members on board, and I hope that you all have access to YouTube at this point, if you're on the YouTube, because we'll do the presentation through that. And I'm going to open the public line at this time. And the public line is now open. Ready? Okay. Let's move to the first slide for the meeting. I want to welcome you to the first meeting of the Menhaden Management Advisory Committee, or MMAC for short. My name is Pat Gear, and I'm the Chief of Fisheries Management here at VMRC. Joining me here at our large commission meeting is just three of us. It's Deputy Chief Shannon Madsen and Fisheries Planner Summer Smots, who will be on the video and the audio. I wish that we could be meeting under better terms and under more normal circumstances. So we want you to be patient with us as we go through this electronic meeting. There's a statement that I need to read, and this is members of the VMRC Menhaden Management Advisory Committee, MMAC, and the general public. On March 12th, the Governor Northam declared a state of emergency due to COVID-19. Because of the catastrophic nature of the declared emergency, it is impractical and unsafe to assemble a quorum of the MMAC in a single location. In accordance with sections 28.2-209 and section 2.2-3708.2A3 of the Code of Virginia, a special meeting by the electronic communication means on the proposed amendments to regulation chapter 4 VAC 20-1270-10 pertaining to Atlantic Menhaden will be held on Monday, April 30th at 4 p.m. In consideration of Governor Northam's Executive Order 55 and public safety, the committee members and the public may only participate in this meeting via video and audio conference. No one is allowed to attend the meeting in person in accordance with Executive Order 55, prohibiting gatherings of 10 or more individuals. All persons interested in commenting are highly encouraged to submit written comments prior to the meeting. The purpose of this special meeting of MMAC is for the presentation and approval of the committee bylaws and discussion on VMRC's updates to the Menhaden regulations to finalize the transfer of management authority for the species from the General Assembly to the Marine Resources Commission. The special meeting will be broadcast on the Marine Resources Commission's YouTube channel at https://www.youtube.com/user/VA/Marine Resources/live. And through two audio conference lines, one secure line that will be dedicated just to the Menhaden Management Advisory Committee members, and a public line, which is 866-845-1266, and the participation code is 8044-1794, and make sure you hit the pound sign. Citizens are encouraged to submit their comments prior to the special meeting and via email under the subject heading Menhaden, and the public will be heard towards the end of the meeting on our public conference line. Okay. So Moving on to the next slide, which is our agenda. Move to the next slide, agenda. Okay, it came up right. There's going to be a little bit of lag in YouTube, so what we're going to be, the agenda is relatively short, and it's considered as an emergency meeting under the governor's executive orders for COVID-19, and the attorney general who said, we can only conduct business where there's an immediate need and where failure to do so could result in irrevocable public harm. So we have a difficult task to bring together this brand new committee and new group of committee members remotely and try to complete the necessary business. We're only going to entertain the business that's on the agenda. We're not going to address any new business because really there is no new business is the point. I want to move forward on to the next slide, please, which is slide 3, which is the roll call for the committee members. And when I say your name, please just say here or present. Steve Atkinson.
Present.
Monty Deal.
Present.
AJ Erskine.
Here.
Mark Federici.
Present.
Daniel Knott.
Here.
Dr. Rob Latour.
Present.
Mike Leonard.
Here.
Shannon Madsen.
Here.
Chris Moore.
Present.
And Ken Schultz.
Present.
Okay. I want to congratulate you all for your appointment and thank you for your service to the commission, and we're looking forward to working with you on this. Moving on to the next slide, which is our meeting protocol, which is slide 4. Okay. Since this meeting is being conducted remotely with internet on 2 conference lines, your cooperation and patience is greatly appreciated. We noticed during a practice run that there's a 5 to 10 second delay in the YouTube audio versus the conference line. I'll try to adjust for that by pausing between each slide, then announcing the header and the slide number that appears in the lower right of the next slide. The presentation is also available on our website if you prefer to follow along that way. If you think that you want to speak during the public comment session, you need to call into our public line, which is 866-845-1266, with a participation code of 8044-1794, and hit the pound key. Listen through either your phone or YouTube. Please do not do both because there'll be too much back feed. So listen through one or the other. When it comes time for public comment, we will call on those who requested to speak, and we will acknowledge those that requested through the YouTube first, and then anyone else who's on the phone line. When you're called upon, we're asking you to give your full name, your place of residence, and whether or not you're against the proposed regulation change, and then you can give your comment. And right now, we're allowing 3 minutes for each person's comments. Moving on to slide 5. Okay, thank you. This committee was born out of House Bill 1448 and Senate Bill 791 during the recent legislative session, requiring up to 12 members with 7 specific seats, one for the reduction fleet, one for the bait fleet, a labor seat that has some involved with Menhaden, a recreational angler, sport fish industry, a non-government organization or conservation group located in Virginia, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission Technical Committee representative to Virginia, and up to 5 at-large seats. Commissioner Bowman appointed 10 members, giving us the opportunity to add 2 more members if the need arises. The committee is set up just like all of our other committees. We have a FinFish Management Advisory Committee, or FMAC, a Crab Management Advisory Committee, CMAC, and a Shellfish Management Advisory Committee, SMAC. Moving on to slide 6. Which is goals for this meeting. Okay, I got the nod that it's up there. We'd like to provide you an introduction to the VMRC Advisory Committee process since this is a new committee. We're going to present the bylaws. We want to present the changes to the regulation chapter 4 VAC 20-1270-10. This is the meat of this meeting. The staff's goal was to take the sections of Code of Virginia that were deleted by House Bill 1448 and Senate Bill 791 and incorporate them into the regulation. This is the final step that will give VMRC some management authority of this species. We are not proposing any modification to regulations that were not part of the rescinded sections of Code of Virginia. In other words, we're trying to maintain status quo to the extent that keeps us compliant with the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission's Menhaden Fisheries Management Plan. We're just starting down this path, and there will be a time better suited in the future to address additional changes. In fact, we had to go through extraordinary measures just to have this meeting today to get approval through the Attorney General. We've been directed to modify the regulations to get us in compliance with ASMRC to avoid a possible moratorium. And lastly, we're hoping when we're done with the presentation and the regulation that the committee could provide, you know, any additional recommendations they have or an endorsement of the regulation as it is. So the AC process, our advisory committees typically meet at least semi-annually, typically quarterly. If there are serious issues, they may meet as often as monthly, and that was the case last year for striped bass. My recommendation for now is that we meet in the spring prior to the season opening, and late fall probably, you know, near the end of the season or after the season closes. I'd suggest we try to have a face-to-face meeting at some point when things return to normal and we get back to work. So for this year, you know, to have three meetings, so that it would be nice to meet face-to-face. Typically, you have a chairman who would run the meeting with our assistance. But since this is the first meeting, many of you don't know each other and the circumstances aren't ideal. If there are no objections, the staff will lead this meeting. We're loosely following Robert's Rules of Order. Motions are made and seconded, and you must be recognized before speaking. This is an advisory committee. Staff take the information from your discussions and recommendations to the commission for public hearing. We hope that most of the time we reach consensus and the staff's recommendations match those of the committee. Sometimes they may not. However, during public hearings, staff will provide all your comments and recommendations to the commission, and the members of this committee are encouraged to provide public comments to the commission as well. Are there any questions from the committee at this point about what their function is and how that works? I'm not hearing any. So I'm going to move on to slide 7. Which is our advisory committee bylaws. They are item 2 in your materials. You've all received a copy of the bylaws. We've already received a few edits and suggestions that we appreciate and that we will try to incorporate them. But these are nearly identical for all of our committees, with the exception of the committee name in Article 1, Section 1, and in the case of MAC, Article 4, Section 1, which specifically describes the membership as it is intended by the General Assembly. I'm not going to go over the whole document, but I'd like to highlight a few items. Under Articles 3, Membership Details, Section 1 mentions compensation for traveling. If we do have a meeting and you have to travel to Hampton, to Fort Monroe for a meeting, we can compensate you for that, and staff have the forms for that. Section 4 says you are appointed by the commissioner and serve at his discretion. Term limits are 2 years, but you are eligible for an indefinite number of 2-year terms. To give you an example, some members of our CMAC have served for over 20 years. I look at it as kind of like you can't get out of the car if you don't have a stop sign. So if you know, it gives somebody an opportunity to step off the committee if they so desire. Term limits are a quorum is 51% of the membership, and we have 10 members, so we need a quorum of 6, and we do have a quorum for today's meeting. The committee will elect a chairman at some point, and sections 10 through 12 talk about the attendance. If you miss 3 meetings in a year without an RSVP or an excuse, you may be removed from the committee. One of the biggest discussions we've had with our other advisory committees has been Section 13, the use of proxies. They're not allowed. The commission and the secretary appointed you specifically to serve, and they would like you to participate as such. They expect you to be reasonable and respectful during your discussions. And remember, you were appointed to serve a specific sector of the Menhaden fishery. It is important you do so and not just provide your personal opinions. We do take minutes, along with archiving the meeting, audio and live video, and those minutes are typically approved at the subsequent meetings. Are there any questions about the bylaws? Any at all? Okay, not hearing any. Do you want to approve these bylaws at this point? If we do, we need a motion.
I make a motion we approve the bylaws.
And who made that motion?
Monty Deal.
Monty Deal. Is there a second?
I second it.
We've got two people. Who seconded it?
Steve Atkinson.
Okay. Atkinson. Okay, please mute your phones now, if you can, if you don't mind, so we don't have all that background after you speak. All right, we have a motion to accept the bylaws. Motion by Monty Deal and seconded by Steve Atkinson. Is there any objection to these bylaws?
Discussion?
Yes. Discussion?
Now, this is Ken. You mentioned, Pat, that there were a couple of little changes to be made. Where did we see those?
Some of those we can adopt. I mean, some of them, you know, it's just some verbiage. If you want
okay.
to, I mean, we can consider those. If you know,
at the next meeting, then?
Yeah, we can adopt. We can modify the bylaws if we want at the next meeting, but it would be good if we can have these bylaws in place and then modify them next meeting.
Sure.
Okay?
That's fine.
And there was nothing, there was really not much that was unreasonable in what you had. It's just that they were a little bit different than what we've done with some of our other committees.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Is there any objection to this motion? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to say that the bylaws are passed, approved unanimously. Your first order of business. Congratulations. Okay. Now we're going to move on to the main part of the meeting. We're going to move on to slide 8. Okay. I'm getting the way that the slide came up. We have the delay here as well. This is a recent history. I want to speak briefly about how we got here. In November 2017, the SMC Atlantic Menhaden Fisheries Management Board approved Amendment 3 of the Fisheries Management Plan. One item in the amendment was the bay cap was lowered from 87,216 metric tons to 51,000 metric tons. At the time, the General Assembly had full control of the Menhaden, and the only marine species VMRC did not manage. The General Assembly did not adopt the new bay cap during the 2018 session. And in May of 2018, the ASMSC board decided to postpone a vote on Virginia's compliance. It came up again in February 2019, and the decision was to postpone indefinitely, but VMRC would monitor the harvest and alert ASMSC if the bay cap was exceeded. Unfortunately, the bay cap was exceeded in September 2019 for the first time since 2012, and at the end of the year was nearly 30% over the bay cap. The ASMSC found Virginia out of compliance unanimously at its October 2019 meeting, and in December 2019, the Secretary of Commerce concurred with ASMSC's findings and gave Virginia until June 17th to correct the issue or face a complete moratorium of the Menhaden fishery. It includes everything, bait, reduction, you know, fleet, and everything else. Moving on to slide 9, which is current Menhaden management. Okay. Although there were several attempts over the past few years to correct the bay cap issued with the General Assembly, no bill got through committee until this year. There were a total of 12 Menhaden bills introduced this last session, and through the cooperation and negotiation, they consolidated to identical bills from the Senate, Senate Bill 791, which was co-sponsored by Senators Lewis, Cosgrove, DeStaff, Hosmey, and Stewart, and one from the House Bill 1448, co-sponsored by Representatives Plum, Guy, and Knight. It was passed by the House on March 8th and by the Senate on March 12th. The governor requested an emergency clause so that once it passed, it became law. So for the past 38 days, VMRC has had some management authority of Menhaden, but our regulation did not have the necessary content to do so. Thus, the meeting today to present the regulation in a public hearing on April 12th for final approval. If approved, it will allow the purse seine season to start on schedule, which is can start on March 4th of this year. It will also avoid shutting the season down as a result of a moratorium, which will go into effect June 17th if we don't pass a regulation. Moving on to slide 10. Okay. Slide 10 is the codes of Virginia that were removed from the General Assembly this year. Section 28.2-400.2 mentions the entire Virginia quota as allocated each year in ASMSC. 28.2-400.3 discusses the annual state allocation by sector. And 28.2-1000.2 pertains to the Bay Cap. Our goals, with the staff's goals, were to look at these seven sections of the code, determine which still apply under Amendment ASMSC's Amendment 3, and incorporate them into VMRC's existing Menhaden regulation. Next slide, please. Slide 11. Slide 11, which is the code of Virginia that is still under the General Assembly's authority, deal mostly with licensing and permitting, but also deal with area restrictions, which is section 28.2-409, and the closed purse seine season, which is section 28.2-410. So the General Assembly still has authority on when the purse seine season can open and when it can end, and what areas are prohibited. The season will remain the first Monday of May until the third Friday in November in the Bay, and the first Monday in May until the Friday before Christmas in the ocean. So, and we'll talk more about that when we move on. Next slide, slide 12. So our VMRC regulation for Menhaden is in Chapter 4, VAC 20. The regulation number is 1270, and it's pertaining to Atlantic Menhaden. It was last updated in August of 2017. We've incorporated the appropriate code sections repealed by the General Assembly in House Bill 1448, Senate Bill 791, to ensure compliance with the Amendment 3 of the ASMSC Menhaden Fisheries Management Plan, as well as doing some minor wordsmithing as well. Next slide, please. This is slide 13. I'm getting my nod that it's up. This is the regulation update key. When you're looking at, if you look at the regulation, the copies that you have in black and white, you see underlined, which would be new text, and a strike through if it was removed. We've also added for this presentation, if the text is in yellow, it's a regulatory change, and if it's in brown, it's a language update. And the regulation is item 5 in your materials if you want to follow along that way as well. So next slide. We're going to go through the regulation section by section, which is going to be a little dry, and I apologize, but this is something we need to do. The first section in Chapter 4 VAC 20-1270 is Section 20, and that's our definitions. It starts on the bottom of page 1 and goes through page 2 of the regulation. We've added a new definition of Atlantic Menhaden and Bay Cap and the Chesapeake Bay shown here underlined, and deleted the phrase non-purse and replaced it with the phrase, we hyphenated the word, so that's a language change. The Chesapeake Bay and the non-purse seine Menhaden bait sector definitions are taken directly from Code of Virginia Section 28.2-1000.2. The Chesapeake Bay definition is also how the National Marine Fisheries Service collects their data. Moving on to the next slide, slide 15. Okay, this is a definitions continued. This is page 2 of the regulation. We removed the reference to the Code of Virginia for the purse seine Menhaden reduction sector since it no longer exists, and added definitions for a qualified Menhaden processing factory, which comes from section 28.2-400.3, and a new definition, stationary multi-species gear, which is defined in Amendment 3 of ASMSC's Menhaden Fisheries Management Plan. Are there any questions or discussions from the committee on the definitions at this point? Give me a second. Okay, I'm not hearing anything, so I'm going to move on. We're on slide 16 at this point. This is section 30, total allowable landings for Menhaden allocation, accountability and overage, restrictions, closure, and state-to-state transfers. This is probably the most detailed part of the regulation. We put a lot of thought. There's a lot of new sections in here. We added the terms restrictions, closures, and state-to-state transfers in the section title. In subsection A, which is on page 3, we deleted all reference to the Code of Virginia, defined the allowable commercial landings in 2020 as 372,443,990 pounds, or 168,937.75 metric tons, which is 78.66% of the ASMC coastwide total allowable catch, or TAC. Next slide, please. This is slide 17, will be coming up. Okay. This is subsection B, which is on page 3. It's a new subsection and defines the percentage and allocation of the annual quota to the three sectors. The first sector being number one, being the per seine reduction sector, which is 90.4% of the state allocation. Sector two is the per seine bait sector, which is 8.38% of the state allocation. And the third one is the non-per seine bait sector, which is 1.58%. These percentages are in accordance to the average landings for each of these sectors from 2002 through 2011. The percentages were established back in 2013. The language remains the same, but the numbers are shown here are slightly different since the previous version of this rounded did some rounding measures in the regulation. We've added the percentages into the regulation out to two decimal places. So for reference purposes in the future and for precise allocation for future allocations, you'll see throughout this regulation, we not only include the weight, but we also include the percentages so that you don't have to go somewhere else and reference those numbers. We wanted to have everything is in the regulation and be as transparent as possible. Moving on to slide 18. Okay, this is subsection C of section 30. It's on page 4. This is the old section B, and it now becomes C because we added a new section B. This section deals with the overage from a sector being paid back to that sector in the following year. An exception is the non-per seine bait sector, which goes into an incidental catch provision described later in the subsection. This provision was established in the ASMC Amendment 2 of the Fisheries Management Plan in December 2012. Okay. Moving on to slide 19. Okay, I thought I was going to get a drink out of that. This is still Section 30, and it's subsections D and E, which appear on page 4 of the regulation. They're new subsections, as you can see, because they're underlined. Subsection D addresses the ASMFC's 1% coastwide quota set aside for episodic events. In some years, a few of the northern states, mainly New York to Maine, have large schools in Menhaden in their waters, and they would like to take advantage of them. This set aside accomplishes just that with some minor restrictions. However, if that quota is not used by September 1, the unused portion is redistributed to all the states according to the coastwide allocation formula for that year. Some of this language originates from Code of Virginia Section 28.2-400.2. Subsection E is to address two sections of code that remain the responsibility of the General Assembly. They are included in the regulation for reference only. Section 28.2-409 addresses prohibited areas for per seines, and Section 28.2-410 addresses closed per seine seasons and prohibited nets. The per seine season is closed in the bay, I'm going to read this how it's written, between the Saturday following the third Friday in November and the Sunday preceding the first Monday in May. In layman's terms, for this year, that would be May 4th through November 20th. East of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, the prohibition shall be from the Friday before Christmas and the Sunday preceding the first Monday in May, or May 4th through December 18th in 2020. It's unlawful for any person to use any purse or other net having a stretch mesh of less than 1 3/4 inches. And again, these sections of code remain the responsibility of the General Assembly and are beyond VMRC's management authority. Okay, slide 20. Okay, slide 20, it refers, is still section 30, subsection F, which is on the bottom of page 4 and page 5 of your regulation. It's a new subsection, and it gives the commissioner the authority to close a specific sector once 100% of the allowable landings of that sector are achieved. This includes the purse reduction, the purse bait, and the non-purse bait sector, which goes into an incidental bycatch fishery of up to 6,000 pounds per day or 12,000 pounds per day if two licensed individuals are on a boat. Much of this language is comes from Code of Virginia 28.2-400.4. Okay, moving on to slide 21. Slide 21 is still section 30, subsection G. It's on page 5 of your regulation and allows the transfer of quota between the states in accordance to ASMRC criteria. It doesn't allow quota. Quota cannot be transferred to make up for an overage in the bay cap, though. And this language comes from the Code of Virginia sections 28.2-400.2 and sections 28.2-1000.2. That is everything in Section 30, and I know that's a lot. Are there any questions or comments from the committee at this time about Section 30?
Pat, this is Monty Deal. On that last, the very last sentence in that section where it talks about the commissioner may transfer Menhaden to another state only if there's unused quota, is there a date assigned to that, or what is the time frame used to make that decision in that calendar year?
I don't think there is a date per se. I think we don't consider it until after the season closes. If we were going to transfer,
But I did notice somewhere that Virginia has transferred a couple of times.
Yeah, and I don't think we do it until the season closes. I recall it's around December 15th is when we did it last year.
Okay.
What happened? Did we lose? I think we lost our feed. Any other questions? I mean, while we get our feedback.
Hey, Pat, it's Rob Latour.
Uh-huh.
Just curious, and this could be just left over from proceedings of the General Assembly, but it seems like 2011 is like a terminal year for a lot of the calculations, so I was just curious if you had some background on that, and it seems a bit dated relative to things that have happened over the last, say, 8 or 9 years.
You know, I will agree. I think, Rob, at this point, what our goal was to try to get what was in the General Assembly Code over, and this committee can work on this and some other things as we move forward. So our goal is...
You answered my question. It seems like it's just retained from the General Assembly
language.
Yes,
it is. Yeah. Shannon, did you want to comment?
Yeah. If Rob, can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. When we first adopted Amendment 2 back in the day, that's where all of this comes from. So in 2013, I believe, is when they actually adopted all of those percentages for the sectors as well as for the non-persane bait sector. So all of that information is dated because of when we adopted everything. So when I went back and read through a lot of the evals, it sounded like there was a lot of negotiation surrounding those percentages. So those were the ones that were agreed upon by all three of those sectors. So those carried over from code here into the regulation.
Yep. Okay, thanks.
But that's clearly something this committee can work on in the future.
Yeah, I wasn't proposing to do that. No, I just wanted a little bit of the history. So I'm great. Thanks.
Okay, we appreciate that.
And Pat, this is Monty. And another reason that that has been used over time at ASFMC is because if you, you know, that's the last time that, that an average was set, you know, to get that baseline from which the original 20% cut was made in 2013. And if we readjust those numbers, then you're essentially awarding or rewarding overages in your original TAC.
Okay.
So I think there's been some hesitancy to say, let's go back and relook, because, you know, the ones who would win are the ones who were going over their original TAC.
That's a good point, Monty. Any other discussion or comments on Section 30?
Hey, Pat, it's Chris. What was the thinking behind putting in the percentage of the coastwide TAC and not just the poundage or metric ton number?
It was just trying to be transparent to what it is. So someone, because what happens a lot of times is someone asks what that percentage is. You could, if we put all that information in there, it becomes a reference instead of having to look someplace else for what that percentage is. That's the primary reason for doing this. It's for reference purposes.
Yeah, and Chris, just another note. We've been starting to do that with a lot of our regulations so that we can have a percentage present without having to constantly update a number. So it's kind of nice to just have that right there and know exactly what portion of the coastwide total ASMFC is awarding each state.
And we decided for this regulation, we're going to more of a percentage, and as Shanna said, but for this one, we felt it was necessary to put that poundage in there as well. So each year, we'll have to go in there and update that.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, hearing none, we're going to move to slide 22. Okay, I get the nod. Slide 22 is Section 35, the Chesapeake Bay Purse Seine Menhaden Reduction Fishery, which is on the bottom of page 5 and 6 of the regulation. This is a new section in the regulation with three subsections, all originating from the Code of Virginia, Section 28.2, 1000.2. Subsection A, which is on page 6, deals with the bay cap, which in 2020 will be 36,196 metric tons, was 79,798,520 pounds. And this is it's lower than typical because of the overage in 2019. If there's no overage of the bay cap in 2020, it's expected that that will return 51,000 metric tons in 2021. Divisions 1 through 3 originate from ASMRC's Amendment 3. They address the fact that accepting transfers from other states to avoid overages are prohibited, and there is no carryover for unused quota, or overages must be deducted from the following year's cap, bay cap. This is an important note because the purse seine reduction sector exceeded the bay cap in 2019 by 14,804 metric tons. The handout that we provided you, number 4, which is the overage payback requirements, has the governor's executive directive number 9 from March 31st, 2020, directing the VMRC regarding the regulation to Menhaden pursuant of House Bill 1448 and Senate Bill 791, requesting that the ASMC allow the payback of the purse seine reduction fleet harvest in equal amounts over the 2020 and 2021 fishing seasons. Commissioner Bowman sent a letter to ASMRC on April 1, 2020, requesting just that we pay it back over 2 years. And that's in that attachment as well. On April 6, 2020, ASMRC responded that Amendment 3 requires, and I quote, harvest above the cap in any given year will be deducted from the next year's allowable harvest. So the overage in the bay in 2019 must be paid back completely in 2020. Okay. Moving on to slide 23. Okay. And this is subsection B and C on page 6 of section 35, and it refers to the commissioner's authority to close the purse seine reduction sector when the annual bay cap is met. Staff monitor the catches on a weekly basis and can estimate when the cap will be met by daily landing reports. And subsection C prohibits the harvest of menhaden by purse seine for the reduction purposes in the Bay once the commission closes the season. Are there any questions or comments about Section 35?
Yes, Pat, this is Monty. On item B, where it talks about the mandatory daily landings reports, later on, we talk about submitting these CDFRs, the Captain's Daily Fishing Reports, daily to VMRC.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been problematic because we don't have a way to get them to you when the boats are at sea. And I bring it up now because it mentions daily landings reports. But are you referring here to the reports the captain?
Yes, that's what we're referring to.
Or when they turn them in?
We're referring to those, and we get them on a weekly basis from the National Marine Fisheries Service.
Right.
That's what we're referring to.
Right. But later on in 20-1270-60. You know, we talk about each licensee must turn in the report daily. And I didn't know if that linked back with this. Are you expecting this report to be filled out daily or turned in daily? On point in Section B here.
Section B? What we've been doing is on a weekly basis. I mean, I think at this point we're fine with continuing the weekly basis getting those reports.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just their daily reports that the captains get, and we get a whole week of them at a time, and we're fine with that.
Right. Okay.
Okay, and if that's unclear, we can change the wording in that if you feel we need to.
No, it's fine here for this part because I think this is a little ambiguous in that is this a daily report they're filling out daily, but not required to turn in daily, and I think it can be interpreted that way.
Okay.
But later on, I think the wording will need to change, but I'll wait till we get to that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Are there any other comments on Section 35? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to Section 40.
I'll wait till we get to that.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, slide 24, which is section 40, purse seine menhaden bait sector, limited entry criteria, individual transferable quota system, and season, which is on the bottom of page 6 and page 7 of your regulation. We've added end season into the title and did some wordsmithing in subsection A. We just changed it from applicant to person, and instead of saying must, we said shall. And that's all we did in that Section A. Moving on to slide 25. Okay. Slide 25 deals with Section 4, subsections B through D. Subsections B through C on page 7 remain unchanged. And subsection D comes directly from the Code of Virginia, section 28.2-411. This section was last updated in 1992. It essentially limits small vessels using a purse seine to catch bait only in March to May. We realize that there may be further examination necessary on this. I've already talked to one of the committee members, and this is an issue that we may want to revisit in the future meetings. And to the reason why this requirement is here and whether or not it's still relevant. But we just brought it over from the code section. But that's something we can consider if that needs to be changed in some way because we don't know for sure if it's still relevant or not. So that's all we have on Section 40. Are there any questions or comments on Section 40?
AJ, Pat, this is AJ. I just appreciate you flagging that Section D for future reference so we can have a discussion about it, maybe in one of these face-to-face meetings. But I think it's either obsolete or maybe antiquated. We need to update it.
Yeah. And we've already had that flag. When you sent me the email today, I said we've already got that down as something we need to look into. Okay?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on Section 40?
Pat, I would agree with AJ's comments. Thanks for flagging that. I was having a little bit of trouble understanding the last part of that, where it says the first Monday in March up to the first Monday in May. Is Is that the way I read that, at least on the face, is that the season's only open for 2 months, but I know it's longer than that. Is that because it's over a year? Can you explain that piece? And I know we may discuss it more in the future.
Hey, Pat, I'd be glad to. This is Monty. I'd be glad to talk a little bit about the history.
Okay, go ahead.
Chris, it used to be that guys who caught bait with purse seines, as I did it back in the 80s myself, had smaller boats. They fished very local to Reedville. Most of the boats were 60 to 80 feet long, and a section was carved out for them in the code to allow them to go about 2 months earlier than the larger boats, the reduction boats, because the bait season started earlier, particularly in the Gulf for crawfish. People wanted bait earlier, so they carved out for them, for these smaller boats to be able to start earlier. I think what AJ's probably bringing up is that now the guys who use purse seines for bait have the same size boats as, the reduction boats, and they're over 70 tons. So right now there really is no one in this little niche, operating.
Okay. That's very helpful. Thanks for explaining that.
Are there any other comments or questions on Section 40? Okay, hearing none, we're going to move on. Okay. This is Section 50, non-purse seine menhaden bait sector quota allocation and bycatch provisions. It's on the bottom of page 7 and page 8 of the regulation. We did some wordsmithing of the title, deleting the phrase and bycatch provisions. The percentages shown in subsection A, 1 through 7, were established in 2013 and updated in 2017. The percentages were added to the regulation, as we said earlier, for the convenience of reference. And the numbers in pounds changed slightly due to rounding errors from the preceding versions of this regulation. So it's in the past, we just had the pounds, but we feel putting that percentage there, it makes it easy. Everyone can. It's easy for us to understand. We don't have to go reference it from someplace else. Slide 27.
Before we go to 27, going back to 26, all of the numbers here are based on that older landings historical period that we talked about.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that these gears have caught this, say, for the last 5 years or so, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for that clarification.
Okay. That's correct. Okay, next slide. Okay. It came up already? Okay, good. No. Okay, now it's up there. Slide 27, which is still Section 50, it's subsection B, which is on page 8. We've deleted this whole subsection since it references the Code of Virginia section that has been rescinded, and the 6,000-pound bycatch allowance is already mentioned in Section 30, subsection F3 on page 5. So this section has pretty much moved to someplace to another area of the regulation. Are there any other questions on Section 50? We're moving on to slide 28. Thank you. Which is section 60, reporting requirements by the menhaden fisheries sector, which is on page 8 and 9 of the regulation. Subsection A has just some minor language changes. As you can see, hyphenated and shall versus must. We deleted the last section of the last portion of Section A and moved it down as a division as two and its own. Division A1 comes directly from Section 28.2-400.3, and then you can see, like I said, the section from that was in the main part of A is moved down as a division as division number two. Moving on to slide 30. 29, I'm sorry.
Hey, Pat.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry. Can I bring up something now? This is the portion that I was talking about in the first sentence about turning in these reports daily when we really can't.
They're called, so it says that they're called daily phishing reports, but then in the next sentence.
Well, it says must submit, shall submit the CDFR to the commission,
yep.
You know, each non-weekend day that we're harvesting. When, you know, the last few years we have been sending them in by the Tuesday of the following right. week, you know, the entire week's work.
Right, which is what we say in the later sentence.
Yeah, and then it says later on, it says, shall submit to the commission actually weekly harvest reports.
Okay, so may want to reword the first sentence to not be, you know, conflicting.
We could.
We could do that. I mean, that's simple enough to do. I mean, do you want to suggest some words there, or do you want us to just go? We can do it. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I think you know what yeah. what the issue is.
Okay.
To do it daily, but we know we're doing it weekly, which seems to work.
Yeah.
But we can't. The issue is we can't do it daily when we're you know we're out at sea.
Well, that's understandable. Okay. Okay, we'll correct that. We'll make sure it's less ambiguous.
Okay. Yes. This is Ken. I think if you put in here, just specify that the phishing report contains daily catches, then you'll cover this.
Okay. Captain
Steele. In other words, the weekly report doesn't summarize the week. It specifies what happens on each of those phishing days.
Okay.
And it's submitted on a weekly basis.
Right. All right, we're writing this down, so, and we'll get this changed. Okay, we've got it. Okay, we'll take care of that.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay. Moving on to the next slide, which is 29. Which should be Section 60, Subsection B, which is on page 9. We had some language changes, and in Section C, Subsection C, we deleted the entire portion because we no longer report in this manner in the incidental bycatch provision for the non-purseine bait sector in Section 30, Subsection F, already covers this in the regulation. So we removed the entire Subsection C. And a lot of our reporting requirements are already in a regulation, Regulation 4 VAC 2610. Okay? Are there any other questions about Section 60? Hearing none?
Hey, Pat?
Yeah.
I was just curious about... and maybe there's a broader program in place. I'm sure. I mean, I know there is, but just how is the biological data collection going to merge with what BMRC is already doing for other finfish species?
You want to take that?
And I'm thinking more specifically the bait sector, since there's already kind of a federal level program in place with the reduction fleet.
I'm not sure what you mean.
So far, the requirements for reporting are basically just catches. I'm thinking more about biological characteristics of those catches,
mm-hmm.
which are sorely missed at the technical level for the non-reduction fleet sectors.
So I think, Rob, I think some of that had been established previously in Code 400.6, which is one of the ones that was redacted. But we actually never have that sort of thing in regulation. We just follow what ASMFC has kind of given us as far as compliance reports and whatnot are concerned. So we just don't have that language in here, but we'll continue to sample the same way that we have been doing previously.
Okay.
If there's a Rob, if there's a need, you know, for additional sampling, I think that's something that obviously we can work out through ASMFC and you know what specifically needs to come from us. You know, obviously we're happy to talk about that and bring that up at the TC level.
I will also say I have a great staff because I just got an email from Ethan Simpson saying that we already collect hard parts from the bait fishery and we can easily expand.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure that that's covered, and if it doesn't need to be here, that's fine.
Yeah, but it's
every year at the
Every
year at the technical committee level, we don't have enough biological samples from the bait sectors. It seems like
okay.
Okay,
but we can definitely expand that. I mean, Ethan is running our biological sampling for us, and he says it'd be easy enough to expand. Okay.
Well, let's flag it as a point to bring up at the technical committee level for in future meetings.
Okay.
Thanks, Rob.
We can do that. Okay, is there anything else on Section 60? Okay, hearing none, let's move on to the next slide, which is slide 30. Which is the last section. It's Section 70. It's about penalties. On the bottom of page 9 and 10, penalties for this whole section will remain unchanged, stating the violation of this chapter is a Class 3 misdemeanor, and the second violation is within 12 months is a Class 1 misdemeanor. So this is remaining unchanged. If anybody has any questions about that or comments, take them, but it's pretty standard for what we put in a lot of our regulations right at the end. Hearing now, let's move on to the next slide. Which is slide 31, which is our staff recommendation. And our staff, I know this was a lot to digest for all of you, but and there's, you know, a lot of verbiage there. And but the staff requested the Menhaden Management Advisory Committee endorse these amendments to Chapter 4 VAC 1270-10 pertaining to Atlantic Menhaden to incorporate sections of the Code of Virginia that were repealed by Senate Bill 791 and House Bill 1448 to finalize the transfer of management authority of the species from the General Assembly to the VMRC. We'll take it. That's our recommendations, and we'll take any other questions or comments the committee has at this time.
Pat, this is Monty again. Did we go over all of Section 10 where we talked about the limited entry, Persane, Menhaden, Section A, 1 and 2? Did we go over bullets 1 and 2?
What section is he talking about?
What section are you talking about, Monty?
We went through 60. There was 60, Section 60A. And we talked about the submittal of the CDFRs. Mm-hmm. Then on my, I printed it out on my page 9 of the one of the document that was sent out. At page 9, it had a number 1 and 2 yep. Discussing the limited entry.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's It says once 97% of either the Persane sector quota is projected.
Well, there was an item 1 and 2.
Right.
And then there was a B under that.
Yeah, we went over.
I think we went over that. We just didn't talk about it. Do you have any comments?
So was it on the slide? Was it on the slide? I must have missed
it.
It was.
I have two people nodding their head yes.
We can go back if you'd
like. Okay. I wanted to bring up something on item number 1.
Okay.
It talks about Menhaden landed by limited entry Persane bait licensee at a qualified Menhaden processing factory, as indicated on the CDFR, said the shall be attributed to the per se Menhaden reduction sector.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make a motion that we change that those last words and say that we attribute it to the IDQ of the licensee landing the Menhaden. And just to give a little background, you know, the bait sector is just about saturated.
Mm-hmm.
In New England has a tack of 19 million pounds, and in 2019 they caught 35 million pounds. Maine's tack that was set back in 2013 was 2.4 million pounds, and they're now catching over 22 million pounds. That's what they caught, over 22 million in 2019. Since that original tack was set in 2013, there's been another bait operation that started in the Gulf of Mexico that's putting on around 10 to 15 million pounds of bait a year. And my point is that some of Virginia's bait purse seiners, you know, have left as much as 5 million pounds of bait at the end of the season uncaught, which can end up being transferred to Maine because we don't have an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of our fishermen giving that up, they should have the ability to bring it in to reduction that for them to catch those fish and keep the economic value of those rather than transferring it. Now I'm not suggesting the opposite, that you take reduction allocation and be allowed to put it into bait. But I do think that a bait harvester should have the ability that if he doesn't have market, that instead of stopping working and then transferring that to another state to catch, when they have an outlet that they could sell it to, is much more beneficial to Virginians than to leave it uncaught and give it to someone else.
Okay. Excuse me, something went down the wrong way. Yeah, I'm trying to
think. Pat, this is AJ. Can I make a comment, too?
Sure.
I think, you know, we've had some of this discussion within the industry, you know, several times. I think, you know, maybe this is a discussion point for down the road, maybe flag this. In particular, you know, I think a lot of people obviously on this call, you know that there are two licensees in the Menhaden, per se, Menhaden bait sector. You know, one of which does have some quota in the reduction. We in particular don't have any, you know, quota in reduction. All of ours is in bait. We haven't had the issue that Bonnie's referring to as far as leaving quota, you know, on the table recently. We've caught ours, in fact, transferred, you know, some additional quota to catch, into our quota. So I think there is a realistic or maybe a real issue that we should tackle. I think it's going to take more discussion than maybe here and now.
Monty, are you okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really no, you know, to get off my back. It's just that if we start the new year, particularly with how much they're catching in New England and some of the bait guys don't have market, you know, they're not going to have an outlet for it. Or, well, I mean, I'll just leave it at that.
Like I said, I mean, we're trying to, for today, we're just trying to get through what we have to get through. And it's like, you know,
yes, no, I understand.
We can flag this and take a look at it and I agree with AJ, having a longer discussion about it is probably warranted, but, you know, we'll definitely flag that and look at it and for our next meeting, if that's okay with you.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
All right. Are there any other comments?
Hey, Pat.
Yeah.
This is Steve Atkinson. While we're flagging items for future discussion, certainly don't want to do it today, but on behalf of recreational anglers, I would like to flag an issue, which is really the definition of the Chesapeake Bay as it relates to the bay cap. And this is slide 14. But I would just like to flag that for future discussion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else from anybody?
Pat, this is Ken. I have a comment.
Sure, Ken.
Since the harvest reports are so essential to things here, it seems to me that going forward, the members of this advisory committee should have access to the harvest reports periodically through the course of the season, whether that's, and I don't think that's something that has to be put into the bylaws or anything, and just by consensus, but I don't know how we would get them, and maybe we can get them from the BMRC, but, and maybe this is a point to discuss at a future time, but I wanted to throw it out here to you because it struck me in going through all of this that as an advisory committee, it would be helpful to us to know how things are progressing during the course of the season.
Yeah, Ken, some of that data would be kind of hard because of the confidential data, nature of the data. It would be hard for us to provide that out. I mean,
is it confidential only up until the point that it's nearing the cap?
No, I mean we can say things as far as a percent sometimes. I mean it's very, we have to be very careful about what we say and how we put that. You know, if a cap is exceeded, we can mention that. We can mention a general percentage, but we can't give, you know, a precise number on that because then somebody would know exactly what was caught. And, you know, there's the rule of threes, if you're not familiar with that, where it's like there has to be three individuals in any portion of a fishery. So it could be if there's only two fishermen on a river, you can't report on a river basis. If there's only one dealer who's collecting all the information, collecting all the data, the catch from a state, we can't release that information because there's only one dealer, even though there might be 10 or 15, you know, fishermen involved. So if there aren't three people, we can't release that information. You have to get special permission from ACCSP to have that data. And we've run into...
Now, all right, I get it, but... Seems like we're going to be in the dark right up until the moment that something happens.
No, because we could provide rough estimates of where they are. I mean, we can do things.
That'd
be good. Yeah, we could provide. We've had graphics in the past that just showed, like, you know, how the catch is proceeding. We leave the y-axis off. We'll show what the cap is and show where you know we can leave the numbers off the axis and just show, well, here's the cap and here's where they are now, and it's up to your interpretation to figure out where that would be. But we can't really provide the true data, the raw data for that matter.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Are there any other comments at this time? Does anybody want to make a motion or any other recommendation?
I'll make a motion as to the item that's on slide 31, that we endorse the amendments as they exist in that language there.
Okay, and this is who? This is Ken?
Ken?
Okay, Ken Schultz. Do we have a second to that?
This is Chris. I'll second.
All right. Okay, before we take a vote on this, open up for general public. We're going to open it up to the general public to get any. So we have a motion and a second on the motion. Is there any discussion at this time about this? Any further discussion? We've got somebody, if you could please mute your phone. Somebody who just talked, either Ken or Chris. All right. What we're going to do now is we're going to open the phone for the general public to get their comments. And someone's just going to give me the list of people who've said we have one person. Okay. All right. Okay. So we have one person who's on the line in the general public who wants to speak.
The conference is now in talk mode.
Okay, and we have Mike Avery, who would like to speak. Mike, please state your name.
Hey.
Go ahead, Mike. You have the floor.
Yeah, this is Mike Avery. I'd like to defer to John Bello if he's online and get John Bello to speak. And if we have duplicative comments, I'll just echo his comments. But I'll let John speak. He kind of worked his comments for us. Are you online, John? John Bello, are you online? I don't hear John Bello, so I'll go ahead and give some comments.
I'm assuming that's John. John, are you on?
John Bello.
Okay, John, you have the floor. Mike Avery, we yielded the floor to you.
Okay.
Are you ready, John? Mike, was that you?
I don't hear John Bello online yet.
All right. Well, Mike, you have the floor then.
Okay, so I'm Mike Avery with the Virginia Saltwater Sport Fishing Association. We represent the recreational angler and the charter captains that fish here in Virginia. Just want to make a couple of comments for consideration from the committee, and we're also going to make these in writing for the commission to consider next week. The first thing we'd like to do is change the definition of what you're calling a Chesapeake Bay. We would like you to use the commonly line of demarcation that goes from Cape Henry Light to Cape Charles Light, because that is the true definition that is accepted that separates the bay from the coastal areas. We use that in fishing regulations, particularly striped bass and other fish, and it's properly documented on all of our navigation charts used by the Coast Guard. There is no commonly referenced standard that we're aware of that uses the Chesapeake Bay to separate the bay from the ocean. From our point of view, it's a safety issue because, as you know, Chesapeake Bay itself is heavily fished by recreational anglers. It can be a large number of anglers at any given time. So having the line pushed further away from the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel is a safety issue and prevents user conflicts between users. And so that's something to consider for the committee. Second comment is we'd like to consider for this regulation that we provide some separation for our public beaches from Labor Day to from Memorial Day to Labor Day, that we have a 1 mile separation, 1 mile off of just a public beach, not all beaches, but a public beach where families and children are swimming. We'd like to have Menhaden purslane fishing prohibited just 1 mile from a public beach. And there's several public beaches that are noted, Buckrow Beach, Virginia Beach, Chicks Beach, so on. Just stay a mile off from Memorial Day to Labor Day is all we're asking, and that should be included in this regulation. The other ask is to consider giving us some the fishermen that fish out of Rudy Inlet, particularly the charter captains that fish for Spanish mackerel and bluefish fleet that fishes from Cape Henry as far down as the Sandbridge, and we'd like for you to consider giving those guys a little break, because if you take the bait off of Cape Henry and right out of Rudy Inlet, then there's nothing to fish for these charter captains. And so we'd like to have a little bit of separation, a little bit of a no fishing, purslane fishing from Cape Henry, at least down to Sandbridge, just to help the bait. If the bait shows up there, it'll kind of stay there and really help the fishing. So those are the three comments. I'd like the community to consider those, and we submitted those in writing too. So that's all I had, and thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Is there anyone, Mike? I can address some of that if you want. We do the definition. We in definition Chesapeake Bay is defined in 28.2-1000.2, but it's also defined in 28.2410, which is the seasons. And we don't have any authority to change 28.2410 at this point. We don't have the authority. That's still with the General Assembly. As far as area, you know, restricted areas, that's section of code 28.2409, and that wasn't rescinded either. So those are both both those sections that you mentioned would have to be, especially the areas, they would have to go through the General Assembly. You know, we don't feel at this point we have the authority to change those. Okay.
Pat.
Yeah.
Pat, this is Steve. Just a follow up to that, because again, that line of demarcation was the thing that I wanted to tee up for future discussion. But I'm just wondering, do you know, was there any particular rationale for keeping that part of the regulation with the General Assembly?
I'm not even going to be able to. Who knows? It could have been. I don't know. But it's
could have been an oversight.
It may have been. I don't know. It's pretty much they gave us authority to most of what they gave us dealt with quota and allocation is what they provided us. You know, and pretty much they provided us what we needed to deal with the moratorium. If we went into a moratorium.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, we can have discussions on these in the future. I mean, like I said earlier, we were just trying to, our goals are trying to get, the sections of code that were removed. We're trying to move this forward as much as possible. But, we are not really even authorized to look at some of those issues. You know, according to the governor's Directive 9, we were told to basically, get through this and get these, what was put into the House bill and the Senate bill and get this passed. So we can consider it for future meetings, and those are always open for discussion. And we value everybody's comments, and people are more than willing to provide the comments here and also at the commission meeting next week. Is there anybody else on the public line who would like to speak? Anybody at all? I'm giving a couple seconds in case someone has to unmute their phone. I'm not hearing anybody. Okay, if we're not hearing anybody, I'm going to close the public line at this time. Okay, this brings us back to, the next slide, please. Brings us back to the motion that we had at hand, which was to accept the staff's recommendation with the edits, the minor edits that we've talked about, and we will provide those. So we had a motion. We can either do this. We can do a roll call vote, but if we feel this is, if there's any opposition, is there any opposition to this motion to accept the recommendations as these endorsements as presented today with the modifications? Okay, hearing none. The motion is carried to accept the. Amendments with the minor changes that we've talked about for Chapter 4 VAC 20-1270-10, and we appreciate that. I think that's all we have at this point. Our last slide, which would be
Chapter 4 VAC 20-1270-10.
Sorry, guys. Our last slide is slide 34, which is. We're going to take the information from today. We're going to take Ms. Avery's comments and the comments from the commission, from the committee, and we'll present them at the commission meeting on Tuesday, 4/28, and next Tuesday, 4/28, at 9:30 in the morning. It's by electronic communication means, and I have to say this went much better than I thought it would. I mean, we got through it. It's a difficult way to have a meeting, but written public comments are due by mail by the 23rd or by email. You can provide email up until the close of business on 4/27, and the address you send that to is fisheries@mrc.virginia.gov and subject heading Menhaden. And the meeting information for that is on our website, and you can see that up here as well. Is there anything else from the committee at this point? Anything at all? I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
That is Monty. I motion we adjourn.
Thanks, Monty. Second it?
Mike,
Mike Leonard seconds.
Thank you. And on behalf of myself, the staff, the commission, and everyone who works so hard on this, I want to thank the committee and everybody. It's a difficult way to do a meeting, and I really look forward to having our first face-to-face meeting in the near future. And we look forward to hearing from some of you next week. So thank you very much, and that ends the meeting.
Thank you.
Take care now.
Thank you.